So for me, I was like, this sweet simplicity of like, what's my application for people? Like, to trust God more in those trials. Like, you're in charge. I'm not. My trial brings me back to like, you're not in charge. You're not in control.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Matt Tatey, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Matt, how's it going?
It's going, man. I'm tired.
you're fresh off of, throwing a no hitter and then just coming down to the basement, and you're ready to go home and take a nap, right?
Man, hopefully my basement's cooler than the auditorium was today. Man, that was
it
hot.
It was a little toasty. I did text John DeBolt and say, I can't believe I'm texting you this, but does it feel a little warm in here today?
I brought my jacket and I was like, I am now sweating profusely.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And once I realized it, and once 9:30 came in, that was packed and it was like, whoa, the heat.
Yeah. So, it's either freezing cold or it is
it's a good way to
nice
make sure that everybody gets an announcement bulletin, right? Because then they use it as a fan when
it's
hot.
Yeah, sure. Just have the digital ones now, so use
your
phone.
I don't know what they were using. Their notes then, maybe?
Oh, that could have been. Yeah, maybe.
Good point.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks for preaching today.
Yeah.
I know this is you said that was your first Sunday
first
preaching.
First time on the Hill, man. Yeah.
Not your first time preaching. You had some reps at Youth in Salt recently, which is sweet. That's your feel like that's kind of your daily world, right?
You mentioned
you're at Mount Vernon High School, and so that's the world that you're living in and swimming in every day. So it's sweet that you get to have that opportunity, but also I'm just super thankful that you're able to preach on a Sunday and take us on that journey with you and go where God's been at work. Seems like the theme of trials and suffering and
trusting the Lord. My wife was like, amen, preach it to yourself. Preach it to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like God has grown. I've heard a lot of I've heard a lot of people as they get older, and I've always looked at them as like people who are 10 to 15 years older than me, 20 years older than me. And I hear them talk about like God has done a great work with my anger. God has done a great work with my patience and stuff like that. And I think like there's this sweet sanctification of like as you get older too, it's like you just start realizing like that doesn't matter. You know, my kid making a team in eighth grade, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like they may not start on – because the coach is rotating starters in fifth grade basketball, like it's okay,
right?
Like, and if I sat back and helping your kids understand the trials is a different thing than you, but like those trials are for me too, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'd like to think that I've grown in patience over the years. I have a long way to go, but I'm hoping that that's a good message for myself here as the hard reset of preaching to myself. She asked me, she's like, how'd you think? What'd you think? And I was like, I'm looking at this set of verses. I've had this verse on my board for 12 years in administration, right? Cause I know as an administrator, trials will find me. Mm-hmm. Like they will email me, they will call me, they will everything. every day. And I just remember God is trying to do something in me through those. But when I preached on these and understood the text and the background and the words and what they meant, it just is hitting different for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, praise God for that.
Yeah, that's sweet. We're in James 1, 2 through 3. Your big idea was allow what you know about trials to shape how you go through trials, right? I think you'd mentioned maybe you might have a post-Sunday revision that you want to – not that that's wrong, but maybe just a different perspective to elaborate on that.
Garrett came up to me and told me I did a terrible job and then he told me everything I did wrong. I'm just kidding. I love it. I love feedback. As an educator, I love it, right? So and I have to be careful about seeking that because I don't want it to be like fishing for compliments, that sort of thing. You experience that when you lead worship at times too. Like, I wonder how that was well. I'm like, no, it was worship to God. That's all that matters, right?
Right.
And Jake sent me a text this morning and just like, hey, be yourself. Just preach, get out of your papers and preach and have fun. You know, and I'm like, that's what I loved about teaching when I was in high school, you know, and
you've done the work, you've got the lesson plan, you're good at like.
I said, if I could just sit there, like, I could talk to you a half hour about James 1, 2, and 3 now that I've done the learning and everything.
Sweet. That's awesome.
So I got lost in my notes a little bit, but Garrett, I love feedback and I think like I need to make sure that I'm accepting of feedback and I'm welcoming of it. And he came up and he had said like, hey, it kind of sounded like what you were saying about your big idea wasn't that like allow what you know about trials to shape how you go through trials. It was like allow what you know about God to shape how you go through trials.
Mm.
And I'm like, dang it, where were you? The preacher's meeting when we were going through this. But
so sorry, say that one more time.
Allow what you know about God to shape how you go through the trials. Because ultimately it's God's word here and his character and what he's doing in me.
Right.
Like it's him. He's greater than the trial. Like even the trial, like allow what you know about trials to shape how you go through trials. Yes, there's power in that knowledge, but there's knowledge. There's more knowledge in knowing what God is doing in me mm-hmm. versus just the trial itself. Mm-hmm. And this is a powerful piece of scripture that I think like people know this one, applying it as a whole nother level. So yeah. when we have a bigger view of who God is, that's a bigger vision for responding differently in trials
right.
Than what I just know about a trial.
Yeah, because really a terrible response to a trial is really saying, I can't trust God and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be an overgeneralization, sure. but there's an element of that where it's like, We tend to think that like something has gone wrong mm-hmm. and I need to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's like totally our flesh and not
yeah, totally.
I think you alluded to it. There was while you were preaching, there was a saying that I heard one time, but it was shortly after my dad had passed away and I was on this faith journey and really just understanding who God is and like in this really dark time in my life mm-hmm. started really seeing the beauty of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I don't think if it wasn't for that, yeah. that I don't know where I would be.
Sure.
And so I can kind of look at that. I was talking with somebody else about it. But on the radio I heard it was a Christian artist, but he said, oftentimes we expect God to save us from our struggles, but most times God is actually saving us through our struggles.
Yeah.
And just like that refinement, I think you talked about, you know, the silversmith, that
yeah.
like that process of going through. And it's not this like – it's not that God's testing you of like, do you have faith or are you good enough? It's that the testing is God cares enough to bring about more of Christ in you.
Yeah. That was a big tension of mine too of like people's struggles, you know, like what they were actually going through. Like what about a non-believer – you know, what about a non-believer who's in the room and wants to hear it? Like, how do I incorporate the gospel? Because they may be blind to like
right.
the beauty of steadfastness and what it's producing in right. a trial. It'd be like, what are you talking about? Like what's the goal of that? And so I started on purpose with my testimony of like seeing who God was, that he was more than that. I want people to know where they mm-hmm. came from. And then I tried to end it with, this is the finished work of Christ. Like you'll never yeah. be perfect, but God is working that, you know, in you
right.
in that time. And so that was the struggle of like, how do I, if somebody doesn't believe in that room, but most of these letters are to Christian believers, right? right? And so yeah. God is the one who does a saving and opening of the eyes. And
yep.
so it's been good.
Which oftentimes, I mean that like in my personal experience, I feel like the worst thing that had ever happened to me at that point in my life was the best thing in the sense that God used that in mm-hmm. opening up my eyes to see the fallacies of, you know, I was finding my identity in my work, in mm-hmm. pursuing like hedonism and just like life and mm-hmm. experiences and just all of the things where it's like, yeah. that was the first time in my life was losing my earthly father. Of realizing that life is about more than me. Yeah. I'm not the center of the universe, and this understanding of God's care and intentionality and just like all the truths that I had learned about God, mm-hmm. I started seeing actually becoming realities in how I trusted and was being shaped by him in that. So
yeah,
God actually used the hardest thing that's ever occurred in my life to bring about this beautiful picture of like, yeah, my desires aren't for this world.
Yeah.
My desires are for the greatest thing ever. And that's to be close to God.
Yeah. And it sounds like, not to put words in your mouth, but like this childlike faith of like realizing we need like the simplicity of trusting God in every moment. And it's like, as I get older, make more money or accumulate more wealth, you gain more stuff. And then oddly enough, more trials come because the mower breaks, you know, like the right. mower breaks down. Like right. that's a first world. I'm mowing my lawn. That's a first world issue, right?
Yep.
And it's like more and more things, and then they break down or they cause issues, or we have right. to do this and you have to maintain this, or, you know, and you're taking your kids everywhere. And it's like, I often will say like, I need to fight to trust God because we are building lives. Oftentimes we build lives in America that are sustained on our own
yep.
hard work and yep. whatever. And in this moment, in this picture, like it was a sweet realization for me, like, no, like you need, like I can't gain steadfastness unless I'm like – that's what it's implying. Mm-hmm. It's like I have to go through a trial to gain steadfastness because the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Right. So for me, I was like this sweet simplicity of like what's my application for people? Like for myself to trust God more in those trials. Like you're in charge. I'm not. I have tried to take charge of my own life and control everything and do all these things, and my life has been complex. And in its simplest form of when I became a believer of like – yes, I trust you. Yes, you're good. Let's go. Yeah, what do I need to do next? Right. And it's like it brings me back. My trial brings me back to like you're not in charge. Yeah. You're not in control. Yeah. I bring up the boundary waters too. Like that's why I love taking my kids up there. You're not in charge.
Yeah.
When a rain – what there's going to be lightning and there's going to be – like in our times when we go up, there's hail lots of times. Like, and I'm like, my kids, I want them to know you're not in charge.
Yeah.
So how do we work through a trial – and how do we trust God and see his greatness? You know, I mean, it's a different way, but that's not being in charge, as odd as it may sound, is a really peaceful thing, you know?
So I want to elaborate on your greatest trial, the boundary waters specifically. So when we got back this last time, this is my first time, but this Matt wrote about just like trusting God in the storm.
Yep.
And he was talking about how – and I don't know how many times between you, all of you, Jake, Hofer – you, like everyone's been up there, but seems like Hofer's been up there quite a bit. But he said the time we were up there, that was the most intense windstorm he's ever been a part of. We lost, like Caleb's tarp got ripped, ripped out of the tree. Granted, it might have been poorly tied by me. But like that was a pretty significant storm.
Yeah.
Do you want to know where I was? Peacefully asleep in my hammock about 15 feet away from that. And but I think it's such a beautiful picture of like
peace in the storm.
There is this, like, we might think we're being undone, but there's a reality of like God's simple care. Like, and I'm not saying that I'm more holy than Matt because I wasn't freaking out about the tarp or like the winds that have come, but like in that moment, I was like, this is great. I'm rocking in the wind in my hammock and asleep. But just that reality of like our perspective is I'm being undone and God, like everything's crazy and God's not in control and 15 feet away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's somebody else that's just standing on the solid rock of Christ and being able to like, I'm not like, I'm just rocking in the wind.
Hey, tell me quick aside, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
How was it sleeping in a hammock? Versus sleeping in a tent.
No, so my hammock was just for fun.
Oh,
so
I
slept on the ground. I didn't get that experience.
Disclaimer, greatest sleep ever. Takes the pressure off your joints. It's like you're in the womb all over again. Great.
That might be a Black Friday purchase for me. So that'll be great. But yeah, that's just that's
good lessons.
That's sweet. So, I mean, we kind of talked about this. Anything else? Usually our first question is if you had something else to include or you wanted to expand on something in your message, what would that have been?
I'm not 100% sure there. I felt like there was several rabbit holes we could have gone down, like with trials. I could have leaned more into like the pain of trials and like what to do. You know,
what was the other word that you said that the other translation trials,
temptation. Yeah. Yeah. So we could have gone down that rabbit hole too. Cause like he says, like, kind of all joy, my brothers, when you face trials many times. That another interpretation of trials is temptation sometimes, but we learn later on in James, I think it's James 1, that it says God tempts no one.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know that like scholars will say like, this is not what he's talking about.
Yeah,
it's a temptation. This is a trial. Yeah. And some will even say like he goes on to talk about money and he goes on to talk about sickness, like health.
Yeah.
So he might more be referring to like money, like your current situation of being content in those areas.
Hmm.
And then also like sickness wise, relying on God during those times. But I think like it says various trials, so most will just apply it to across any stretch of the imagination. So
yeah.
Caleb also reminded me, funny note, that he goes, you said on stage that you said, not now, Caleb. And I did say that. He goes, you failed to mention you threw your paddle on shore. I feel like I threw my bat. I tossed stuff and like I was like a baby.
He's you know like, what yeah, I mean? Like, this is not.
Yeah. So he goes, you failed to mention those things. That's going to cost you $100 for mentioning my name in a sermon. So it's good.
Oh, we're up to $100?
He said $100. Wow. I said, I'll buy you lunch. How about that?
Yeah, that should check out. That's awesome.
Sermon illustration.
Oh, that's sweet. Hey, I did have, usually, you know, we've got a little bit more time and people send in questions, which we always love doing that. So my second question for you is actually one that somebody stopped me with right after or right before I came down here. But the question is, how can I lament in my trial without going too far and throwing a pity party? Like, what's the balance there? Because what, and you made clear kind of getting into it, the point is it's not like, it's not counted all joy. It's not like, just be happy. That's not the message.
No, correct.
Because there is a, like, there is pain. There is, there is sorrow. There is suffering. And it's not to be like, just change your mind and think about everything's rainbows and unicorns. So what's the balance?
A lady came up after the first sermon and she was in tears and she's like, how do I get through that, you know, this trial? You know, and she goes, can you just repeat to me, you know, what you were saying? And I just tried to preach back to her, you know, what I talked about, like we see what God is doing and what he's producing in us. And I'm not asking you to jump up and down. Like, it's hurtful. Obviously it's hurtful. It's painful. And it wasn't like combative. It was like a help, you know, as a brother in Christ, would you help me, you know, remind me of these truths. And so we were able to talk back through James and she was incredibly thankful in times. And it's like, that's the other tension that I struggle with. So they're tying those two points together. Yeah. Like, what did you think about? Like I thought about just like how many of our leaders have and our counselors and or people that have shepherded other people, like gospel shepherding, like have walked tirelessly through. We've told the stories like for years with people, like in those trials, right? And that's hard. I mean, like we hear about it at elder meetings and like we're trying to help and it's like those things are incredibly hard. So that the tension is how do I not make feel somebody like, ah, this is easy. Just count it joy and know that God's producing something in you. Like, no, those are real feelings. I think what is convicting for me is like, what am I lamenting about? Mm-hmm. So is it okay to lament? Yes. But what, like my question for somebody would be like, what am I truly lamenting? Is it a comfort? Is it a, you know, even a loss of something like, you know, my kids, like friendship groups or I don't know, like a friendship I lost. Like, it's okay to be sad. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, no one's saying you can't lament. And we oftentimes see the Psalms start that way of this lamenting of what's going on. And they are preaching, like, it is like, I don't want to say fake it till you make it. It's like they are preaching the good news to themselves.
Yeah, there's always like, a point where
I'm
going to
tell
corner.
Myself, even though I don't feel this way. And that's fake, it's not a word, but like, I don't feel this way. So then they turn this corner. Yeah.
Oftentimes it's a commanding of the emotions.
Yeah.
It's a switch of like, I am feeling this way,
yeah.
But now I'm commanding
be
my
not
emotions
downcast my to, yeah, soul, right?
To, yeah. to be different,
yeah.
Because
yeah,
God,
the God's character, right? And like when we dwell on His character, who He is, and we see that, like, and that's we talked about that earlier. God's just a greater picture of what I've lost in anything, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like I'm getting what He's showing me versus what I'm actually losing in the trial. So lamenting, I mean, like, what's a proper way? Like, we're called to, rejoice with those who rejoice in Romans 12, mourn with those who mourn. You know, Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything, right? And like Lazarus died, like Jesus was sad. I mean, like there's a weeping that took place there and it's like that's okay to lament.
Right.
Like, and those are not sinful means of like, that's not saying God's not in charge or God, that's not a doubting of God. Mm-hmm. That's like, no, He placed some real emotions in us. The question is like in the trial, that is never an excuse to sin though.
Yeah.
So like if I have an idol, that might be revealed. So I guess it really comes back to like, what are we truly lamenting?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's okay. I'm not an expert on lamentations. I'm not an expert on lamenting. I've always kind of been like a let's buck it up and go, you know, type of guy.
Yeah.
At the same time, like my mom would be like she gets devastated over things. And like that's hard for me. I have to try to enter into her shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not wrong feeling certain things. My question for her or for anybody would be like, what are we lamenting?
Yeah.
And how do we
– What's the ultimate hope?
Yeah. And what do we look to in those terms?
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, you got to turn the corner, right?
Yeah. There's I just think of even – maybe it's a matter of perspective, I would say, like where if the perspective is so narrowly focused on this trial and myself and it's not causing us to look – to lift our eyes and to look to Christ, mm-hmm. if we don't make that turn, if we just stay – I would say the pity party is you're focusing on yourself. And you're feeling all your feelings and you're not commanding your feelings with truth and you're not looking to God ultimately. Like there should be a point where you're preaching the gospel to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not just a rubber stamp Jesus name on it and then all your troubles go away. But it is an opportunity to like is my hope in the gospel, is my hope in this thing being taken care of. I just think of a family here in our church. I've talked more with the husband, but the wife has had a pretty significant battle with cancer. And one of the things that he said to me, it just sticks with me and has been so it's impacted me in a way that I keep thinking about it. And it's not even my trial. Mm-hmm. But he said, the Lord, the moment we found out it was cancer, we knew the Lord had healed her. Mm-hmm. It was just, is it on this side of eternity?
Yeah.
Or on the other side?
That's a good perspective.
And just that reality of, and things are going well right now. There's God is showing up. There's been miraculous healing and mm-hmm. responding to treatments is great. But just that perspective of, I think a lot of times our trials are not even just for us, but how we respond and what our hope is in is a proclamation of the gospel to others.
Yeah, I agree.
And so it's that reality of so much of seeing there can be this tendency to want to just retreat and not be a burden to other people, but really in actually sharing that with others, mm-hmm. we're glorifying God, but then we're also allowing for others to come alongside and put a hand on our burden and help us carry that load. And
there's ministry in that suffering, right?
And you mentioned Jordan,
Jordan
Howell. Dude, one of the things that he said before the cancer diagnosis, he shared, it was a Desire in God article. I'll link it here in the show description, but it's a super short article. But he just said this line that has been super powerful. He's like, my prayer has been, God, either strengthen my back or lighten my load. Mm-hmm. Not God, get me out of here.
Yeah,
not God,
correct.
Change my situation. Not, resolve this X, Y, Z. Take me home now. But this is where I am. You mm-hmm. know what's best. And just this, makes me think of what you were talking about earlier, just that trusting. God is worthy to be trusted. Mm-hmm. And if we're battling with that, praise God, he's allowing us to see that we're doubting. And that we can trust and that we can turn and run to him, and that it's not just about obeying and doing the right thing. Yeah. It's more about trusting and knowing that he's good and that he's in control.
Yeah. It's odd to say I want to be like Jordan, from a standpoint of he's younger, you think about I'll be like Mike, there's an element of when trial hits me, that's how I want to respond.
Yeah.
I put that guy in the whole neck, with me and to fight the battle. And, I mentioned Wayne, and it's mm-hmm. a sweet, mm-hmm. just lines all over that scream, smile, I have this deep contentment. And I mentioned my friend Paul Knox, and Paul was a friend of mine. He was a food plot expert. I love hunting and I love actually more sitting in the tree than anything, but he's a food plot expert in the Midwest, and people look to him all over on these forums, and he's super popular. Well, he developed ALS, mm-hmm. and it was really interesting. Because the ministry, you mentioned this, the ministry that happened in his suffering, and he didn't waste his ALS. Mm-hmm. And he said he didn't want to be revived. So mm-hmm. he died the hard way of eventually choking, and it was a sad, but I got a chance to tell him everything that he meant to me and do it. I did his funeral and sang at his funeral and preached at his funeral. And I just remember I looked at his last devotional that he wrote online because he loved to do devotionals about food plots and just God devotionals. And so he'd pull a psalm out and his last devotion, he had to use his eyes to look at a letter on his eye computer, And so he would just look at the letter. Imagine how long that took him, but he was so devoted and you would never know. You read that online it was a Desiring God article, and it was how long that took him with his eyes to write that, but he was so committed, that steadfastness in allowing that trial to produce something in him and where he's at now, he's got so much more rejoicing than us. But just watching him how to live and then watching him how he died.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that's how I want to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to respond how Jordan's responding when tough things come. I want to, when I know this is my time, I want to respond how Paul has responded, mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet. Matt, last question here.
Yeah.
So you had a couple of different words that you picked out in there as you were studying. How did you land on hey, let's make sure we're defining these? Because it was even there was one thing that I Oh, that was, sorry, that was Romans 8. There's something you said, some way that you said, talked about Romans 8. I, for the first time, had looked at just like the, like how God is working. I'd always kind of just thought about like, well, now, like obviously he's working for the people that are saved and in Christ and like he's sovereign, he's in control. But I wrote out, you know, you had up there Romans 8, 26 through 30. I wrote out predestined, called, justified, glorified. And then I wrote down below it, like God is working. And then I had these dashes and I'm like, well, God's working here and here and here.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this whole thing is like this perspective.
Yeah.
I'm so quick to be like, well, obviously, like I'm in Christ, so God's working in my life right now and he's accomplishing his purposes in this will. But it's like when I zoom out from just looking at me, the perspective of like God's working all encompassing in his plan of redemption.
Yeah.
It's all the way through that. Like it's all about him.
From start to finish. Yeah. It's a great picture. And then he, you know, he really ties that together. You know, with the, even the verses before that, the present sufferings are not worth comparing to the future glory. And then like we get into like good, he's working good for those who love him and call according to his purpose. Right. And then he goes on to say that that's that definition of good. He says for like, he's predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, which then includes the suffering aspect. And, and so like, I think like the definition of good, like, I don't want to stretch it in human terms, but really like he immediately goes to conform to the image of his son and then ultimately our glorification, which includes the work from predestination all the way through. And it's like, man, you just talked about sufferings and all of it's for my good, which means like I'm going to be conformed to his son, but it ultimately leads to my glorification. So like, it just, it helps me with a big picture of what he's done in my life. And yeah, I preached that at Salt Company about a month or two ago, whatever that was. So yeah.
Fresh on the mind, but a great tie-in.
It was challenging. It's all been challenging.
But some of the, like you explained, talked through like the counting and for we know, and then like the testing, maybe just kind of a little bit more in some of those of like how, maybe just for us on like a like personal Bible study, like how can we find like where are some of those words that we might even just be like, we're like, am I just glancing over this? Like there's so much more there.
Yeah. One of the first things I do is I will sit in the text for a while. Like I just sit in the text and like read it and sit on it. But
do like some observation or like question.
What does this make me think about? And then when I know I have the text, I actually start open an open note section and I'll just voice the text when I think of it. Like, oh, this is what it makes me think of. This piece of scripture. Somebody else preaches on something. It makes me think of that. It makes me think of that. But then the next thing I do, because I don't want to go and like plagiarize, right? But I type in the verses and I go to Desiring God and then type in the scripture. And like Piper has a series of teachings in there that he does, and they're only like 10-minute messages, but he takes verses. And if you're fortunate, he's been through it. If you're unfortunate, he hasn't.
You're talking like the look at the book ones?
And he'll have it on a black. Like,
if John Madden, he's telestrating.
He's telestrating what the words mean. Yeah. Like, and I'll say like, for me, I would like, I read articles and like, I took a piece from here. I took some from there. But I just go to Desiring God. I start there and then I kind of just see where that search takes me. And so like, that counting term, like the other one is like, if you download the Blue Letter Bible app, you can go to their interlinear concordance and you can type on whatever word it means. And it gives you like Strong's definition. Like it'll give you like when it's used in here, this meaning, and when it's used in this meaning. And so like that takes time a little bit. But again,
you just said Strong's definition for those that might not know, that's the like reference for the original manuscript words, text, all the sayings and everything. And
so when it talked about count, it's literally talking about, it talks about an accounting term to consider or evaluate.
Right.
And so like, and then as I worked through that, then Piper talked on a little bit about like, hey, he's asking us to consider something, a trial in a new way. So that's, I thought like, that's really important. It really helped me.
Yeah.
I felt like that was an important piece, like to count something as joy. It's like, no, I want you to look at it in a new way.
Yeah.
And then like the testing, it was something I learned a long time ago, and then we've talked about a little bit, but that was something that was an incredible picture that has stood out to me and why I've had this, you know, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. I have that on my board in school and I stared at it for 12 years.
Yeah.
Cause I know they'll find me. So, but that was an important piece of it. And I knew what that testing meant. And I'm like, he's bringing impurities to the top, but yeah. So that'd be another one I would say, yeah, count it all joy and face trials of many kinds with the testing of your faith. Yeah, the teleos verb again too, like with complete, like it's a word that it means perfect and complete, often mm-hmm. describing of like Jesus, God, that sort of thing, like yep. when things are going to be. That was important, I thought, too, just to bring that up and just help people like this completion comes through the finished work of Christ. Yeah. Like that's the only way.
Yeah.
So those educational pieces are really powerful for me. But Desiring God, I would say, is a really big resource. Those teaching things, like you said. And then Blue Letter Bible, I'll go there. Yeah. Otherwise, like that was my biggest question for the teachers who have taught, like, where do you go?
Yep.
So when I started doing Salt Company a little bit, I'm like, okay, I don't just want to rely on my own knowledge here.
Right.
Like, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I don't want to plagiarize. I mean, the gift of teaching.
What does the text say to the original audience?
How do you stay faithful to that text, right?
What does it mean now? Like, how has the cross informed this, and how does it apply?
You know? That was my biggest worry, like of teaching in general. Right. I've read the verses about teaching and the accountability that comes with teaching. It's like, God, I want to stay faithful to the text.
Yeah.
What do your people need to hear, and how am I staying faithful to the text?
And I think that's important too, just in you know, obviously in preaching, but then also for us in reading in scripture,
like,
you know, what's the interpretation? What's the original meaning? There's plenty of resource out there, but then also what you just did, praying, like we have the advocates help, like he's here, he's going to be at work and helping us to understand and apply properly. And
Romans 8, it says like in our weakness, and it says, for we do not know. So like we're weak and we're incompetent. And when you're weak and you're incompetent, somehow you elicit the power of the Trinity at your behalf. Like it is God the Father listening to God the Spirit on the finished work of God the Son in that Romans 8. That I didn't go into that.
Yeah.
But like that is like you have just – do you remember when they did the time warp in the Avengers Endgame and everybody comes back? It's like you just elicited the power of the Avengers right there who came back from their five-year hiatus. It's like you just elicited the power of the Holy Spirit when you acknowledge your weakness and you don't know how to pray and your incompetence, right? It's like, okay, Holy Spirit work because I don't know, you know?
Yeah, and that's where I think anytime we're reading scripture or prepping for a message, it's there's not a component that is prayer. It is all prayer. Yeah. Like it is all prayerfully, like along the way, conversing, like asking God for help. One of the things too, when you said sitting in the text, that I've always found helpful is just like an observation and question time where there's not, it's not like I get it all in then, but there's a point where like, all right, I've read almost to probably a point of like memorization, like I'm reading, but then there's like, you start to notice things like, why is this word reused?
Yeah.
Or like, why is this the example?
Yeah.
Is this connected to anything else in the rest of James? You know, you talked about, is there a word that's used that's connected and talked about somewhere else? And because we're not just like popping in and catching these two verses out of context, there's a context to understand it. And then in the rest of scripture, where is that connected? You know, we're in James 1, but we're going to Romans 8. These things are connected. The message of the cross is not just holed up in the Gospels. It's all throughout Scripture, and we can go throughout all of that. So I'm not sure when it's coming out, but I'm kind of got like a running resource list because my last article I said like, hey, be careful you don't rely on resources. Like you can pray, you can, you know, like understand properly, you can do Bible study, but then it's also like, but there are like theological giants we can go stand on their shoulders and we can learn from and continue to grow. So Matt, that's great. I think you're ready for a nap, so we should probably get you out of here. That was helpful. Jonathan stopped me in the bookstore. He's like, hey, I've got a question for the podcast. I'm like, great, because I'm going down there right now. But again, church, if you've got a question you want us to address on the podcast, whether it's, you know, Sunday right after service or, you know, Monday morning or later in the week, you know, we love getting these questions come in. You can submit those through the form in the digital program or in the weekly connection group email and
send them our way. Sam can get them to me and I can help, get answers
super,
back to people.
Super thankful for that. Again, Matt, so your revised big idea, you said allow what you know about God to shape how you go through trials.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So forget what Matt said while he was preaching. No, I'm just kidding. No. Remember that. Just expand on it. Little tweak. Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah, a little tweak.
Appreciate that. Church, this has been great. Matt, thanks for preaching. Yeah. This is awesome. All right. God's blessings for school year. I'm sure you guys are in the thick of it. You're about like, you needed one more thing, like the week before school started.
Trusted that God was going to use it for his good. Yeah. And so I'm like, I need to do this for myself and for our people. So like, that's what we did. Sign up and go. So.
I love it. That's great. Well, Matt, thanks for preaching today. Thanks for being here. Join us on the podcast and church again. Join us next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.